Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We are assembled here, O Lord. Come together round about thy precious and living word. Lord, if it is true that the blessings that thou dost have in store for us come through thy word, Lord, we open our hearts wide to prepare to receive thy message to us. Bless thy word and bless each precious soul that has come to hear, that has come to learn of thee. We pray that thy word would go forth as good seed into the acres of our hearts. It would bear fruit to thy honor and thy glory. We pray these blessings and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, let us turn to the First Epistle of John, chapter 4. I'd like to read with God's help the entire chapter. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We sang together these words. We are assembled here, O Lord, as children of the day, to hear all that thy holy word of thee to us doth say. We've read the word. What did the word tell you about God? What was his message? Do you know God better now that you have read his word? What does God want you to know about him? The message of God and what his word has plainly taught. For you to have in mind when his name is spoken, is that God is love. Beloved, how many times did you read the word beloved? How many times did it say in this chapter, God is love? In what ways did God describe through the Holy Spirit as it worked through, he worked through the pen of John to write this letter? What did God say was the way that he proves his powerful love to you? In verse 9, we read, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us." John is about to tell us the answer to the question. How did God show his great love towards you and towards me? How can you be sure? And how can you know and believe that God is love? Did someone tell you? Did you read it in a book? This is how. Because of what God has done, God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This word propitiation speaks of a sacrifice that contains all that is needed to deal with your sin and mine. We know that this was carried out upon the cross. In Christ's death and his resurrection, that we might live through him. And Jesus has told us, there's no greater love than that a man would lay down his life for his friend. And this is what Jesus Christ has done. He has laid down his life. And he's given us all that is needed to return back to God. He's given us all that we need. Peter says the Lord has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's nothing missing in this gift of love, in this expression that should show you beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Lord's love for you. But you may be doubting, You may be questioning because you've wandered very far. And you've heard that there's judgment coming. And you've heard some people say that there is punishment. And there's judgment. And some say that God's justice is so great that it must demand a penalty to be served. And that's all God is interested in. And so you're afraid and you're scared. But do you see what God is revealing here about himself towards you? Even though you reject God, even though you run and stray from his will and his way, he is doing everything that is needed. His disposition towards you is one like a shepherd. That is beckoning, that is calling, that is asking you to trust. And so that we would know that there should be no fear, and that we can trust. The Lord has expressed his love through Christ upon the cross, dying for our sins. Why do you doubt? What else could he do? There is no greater love. There is no higher price. There is no stronger expression that Christ, who did not need to taste death, who did not need to suffer, he went through it for you to show you that God is love. As you think about your relationship with God, those of you that may be seeking or are outside of the fold of Jesus Christ, you may be thinking your biggest problem is God's wrath and the judgment that you deserve. And if that could just get settled, and if that could just get wiped away, then I wouldn't have anything to worry about anymore, and I can go on with my life, feeling a lot better and not worrying about that major, major problem. There's a problem with that thinking. That thinking says that As long as God deals with my account and my debts, then everything is fine. And as long as he deals with the debts, and he doesn't touch what is most important to me, and what I truly love, and who I am, then that's great. That's the kind of faith that gives me what I want and gives God what he wants. And we can wash our hands of these things. But the word says God loves us. And that this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Not because God needs something from us, or that he's lacking without the just worship that we owe him, but that he knows it is best for us to be abiding in his commands. He knows the purpose that he has placed you on this earth. He knows what is most fulfilling for the life of men and women. He knows what will give you meaning. And he knows you are accountable for what you do. And so, he cares about you. And that means he cares about your life. He cares about how you order your life. Because if you are following the wrong thing, if you are following the wrong direction, if you're following and pursuing the wrong purpose, you will end up at the wrong destination. And the journey will not be fruitful. The journey will not be satisfying. But God knows that if you truly are following, and as it says here, that we might live through him, that all things will work out. All things will work out together for good, and God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He knows that all other things will be added unto us if we might live through him. Who is this talking about? This is talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. What does it mean to live through him? What does that mean? Well, who is he? Jesus is fully in submission to the Father. To live through him is to be fully in submission to our Father. That is where we will find the abundant life that Jesus promised. Jesus is the perfect servant. And in service, you will find the abundant life that Jesus promised. You will find great blessing. Jesus shows us an unrestricted death of the flesh and mortifying of the flesh and putting those things far behind. You will find abundant life living through him. And there is no other way. Jesus Christ has won a victory and has overcome Satan and sin and death through death. And he has risen from the dead. There's also for us, his disciples, no other path through which we will overcome. There is no other path. There are no shortcuts that we can take to find that abundant life. Some might say, well, I'll love God more. I'll do this for him and I'll do that. But is that love? We've read here. We've read what love is. And it is not that we love God. And our expressions of love and the way that it would suit us. But his expression of love. And modeling. And representing. And demonstrating. We prayed about preaching the gospel from the housetops. From the rooftops, in every area of our lives which God cares for, he longs that we would be thoroughly permeated with Jesus Christ and his nature. And only he can make us those new creatures. We cannot do it by reform. We cannot do it by our own will. We are born from above. It is a work of God that takes place when we believe. And we are awakened by the word that Jesus has proclaimed, the word of the gospel, which says, repent and believe the gospel. That means change. That means surrender. And try as we may, we will never find the way until we come to the cross and realize, yes, Jesus, you were right. You prayed to your Father and asked, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way. And so, yes, I will agree. I will agree that this is the only way through which we can find salvation. And this is the only way through which I can live through him. This is the way that he's called us. God is love. God loves you. And God loves us and has a purpose for us. In verse 12, we read that no man hath seen God at any time. No man has seen God at any time. Then he says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. What did you accomplish by coming together today? Is God made known? Is God manifested? Is God in his wisdom demonstrated by us coming together in him, in love? The love of God is so powerful and is drawing mankind to himself. And when we come together, according to this verse, in the love of God and love towards one another, God is present with us. He is making his abode with us. He's coming near. And if we desire and pray for the lost, we need God here, because we can't draw them. God does that. And his love is perfected in us. There's a fullness. There's nothing lacking. The needs are met. As we learn, when we come together to love, in love, like our Father who causes the sun to shine on the good and on the bad, and brings his rain on the just and the unjust, the needs are met. God is present with us. But to love requires of us a faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done, and an acceptance that what he has done in demonstrating that greatest love would be also the pattern that we follow when we demonstrate love to one another. And sometimes that hurts. Sometimes that's hard. Because that kind of love doesn't give you what you want and what makes you feel good about yourself. But it truly gives you what you need. And there are times when we are in need of correction. Apostle John speaks of trying the spirits. And sometimes that involves receiving correction. Because there's things in our lives that aren't demonstrating that pinnacle of love that is expressed in Jesus Christ upon the cross. And we fall short. We've sinned. But we want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And that is a choice that we make. We only get to the open tomb going through the cross. And so if correction needs to come to me, if trying spirits needs to come to me, if I've said something wrong, if I've done something wrong, if my life hasn't demonstrated like I pray that the gospel and Jesus Christ and his submission to the Father would be demonstrated from the housetops, but if my life shows something completely different, then I'll just accept it. Because it's not about me. It's about something far greater. It's about his glory. It's about his honor. And it's about his love. That's not just an idea. That's not just a fact that you learn in a class. It's real. Jesus told the disciples after he rose from the dead, "See my hands. Feel my side." The word tells you God is love. And he wants you to know and to live that real story. That's what he's calling us to do. May God bless his word. Amen.
In one of my favorite hymns, I believe it's the second verse, it's the most amazing word picture that I can think of. If we with ink the ocean fill, and the skies of parchment made, and if every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. When I think of what God's love did for me, how could you not get choked up? My brother and sister, when you think of what Jesus Christ has done for us, taking our sin upon his shoulders, how can you not get choked up? And my brother and sister, with the call gone out this morning, our relationship with each other matters. The love that we have for each other matters. Christ says in John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay his life for his friends. Ye are my friends." Brothers and sisters, he calls us friends. "If ye do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I will call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of the Father I have made known unto you." There's no secrets. There is nothing that Jesus wants to withhold back from us, brothers and sisters. And my friend, outside of Christ, there's nothing he wants to hold back. Did he not give his all for you? Is that not enough? Brother Robert said. Could he have done anything else? Choose the love of God. The love that'll drain the oceans. The love that'll clear a plain of trees. And the love that'll occupy every man as a scribe as he writes down all the good works, the majestical truths from the rooftops as we proclaim the love of God in this day. May the Lord bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.